Essential oils, just to give you a real simple analogy, if we were to take the oil from the plant, or just take the plant and the human body and put them side by side, we could do some very interesting comparisons. You see, in the human body, we have a substance called blood. And that blood has a very specific purpose. That purpose is to transport nutrients to the cells, to nurture and feed the cells. One of the primary agents in that blood that is responsible for the delivery of the nutrients through the cell wall is called oxygen. If we take the oxygen out of the blood, what happens? We would die very quickly. The cells begin to mutate and give off a toxic gas that creates a host for disease. And today we live in an environment where we are deprived of oxygen because of the air we breathe, the food we eat, and the water that we drink. And because of that, we have set ourselves up to be victims. And it's quite obvious what's going on in our world today. Well, when we look at essential oils, they have the same role and play the same function in the plant as the blood does in the human body. How many of you have cut your finger? And what happens? You bleed. Why do you bleed? Exactly, to cleanse and to kill the bacteria, because you have to do that to start the regeneration process of the tissue. Okay, how many of you ladies have seen a leaf on one of your houseplants torn or damaged? And what comes out? It's a liquid, isn't it? It's called the resin by some. Some call it the blood of the plant. Some call it the life force of the plant, but it's the same thing. It bleeds. It bleeds to cleanse that part where the plant is damaged, to kill the bacteria. You see, the essential oil is like the blood. It's a transporter. And the primary ingredient inside that oil is called oxygen. It has been discovered and determined now through research and the translation of papyrus and hieroglyphics in Egypt that oils were the first medicine of man. Even before herbs were used, oils were extracted from the plant and used before the actual plant was used. And as of 3 years ago, it was documented that essential oils produce the highest level of oxygenating molecules of any substance known to man. So when we think about that we can get actual oxygen from the oil, it's quite exciting. Now, not only can we get oxygen from the oil, but we also get negative ions and we get ozone. Are they important to us? Why? Can bacteria live in ozone? Can bacteria live in a negative ion environment? No. You know, it's interesting when you look at what's going on in our world, because there's a big wave that has hit the United States called antioxidants, right? And everybody's looking for antioxidants and antimicrobial substance to take. We're just going to walk through some things real quickly and show you why essential oils are the missing link in our health field today, and why everyone and every home needs to have them. Let's look at what the human body is up against today. And we look at what's causing the poisons that we're inhaling, the industrial contamination that's affecting our air. Look at the foods that we're eating today, fried foods and grease that causes carcinogenic activity in the blood, foods that are devaluated, and therefore we get no enzymes from the foods that we're eating. And the foods that were coming from the fields are sprayed with chemicals. The ground is saturated with chemicals and has been for over 50 years. And we wonder why we can't get good, wholesome food today. Not to talk about the environmental contamination that's going into the aquifer, along with all of the contamination in the entire chain that the human body is subject to. We absorb this not only through the food and the water, but through the pores of our skin and the oxygen that we breathe into our lungs. These chemicals go down into the intestinal tract, and they cause a weakening of the membrane wall, and they leach through into the liver and cause cell mutation. It changes the pH chemistry of the blood, and all of a sudden, we've got a problem. We start creating a host for disease, and then we wonder, how can this possibly happen? So detoxification is extremely important today in our lives. It's really interesting to know that essential oils, because of their structure, literally will push chemicals, metallics, out of the cells. How do they do it? Because they have the highest level of oxygenating activity of any substance known to man. And oxygen pushes toxins out and pulls potassium back into the cell. Essential oils will reestablish normal cell function and balance. This is Time Magazine. It was a September 12th issue, and I'm sure most of you have seen it. New virus and drug-resistant bacteria reversing human victories over infectious diseases. How can this happen if we have a healthy body? Can we have infection if we're healthy? Can we have cancer if we're healthy? Can we have AIDS if we're healthy? No, of course not. So let's be realistic and look at it. This was quite interesting here, because if we look down here at the bottom, it says more than 850 people have come down with cholera in southern Russia, and officials fear the disease could erupt into an epidemic. While this article was being published, and they were talking about 850 people in Russia, they never even made mention of the thousands of people they were digging holes, open pits, and burying in mass graves in South America from cholera. Did anyone see that on CNN? We need to start paying attention and waking up to what's really going on around us. Look at this. Some microbes can reproduce in just 20 minutes. And this article goes on to talk about how the drug makers are fighting back, and yet how that every time they produce a drug, the bacteria or the virus mutates and develops its own immunity to the antibiotic. Now that's quite interesting, because when you know these things are fact, and then when you come to understand oils and realize that at this point in time today, they have not found one virus that can create an immunity against an essential oil. Look at here. The question ceases to be, when will disease be gone? This is interesting when we look at the statistics here. Respiratory infections, bacterial and viral, 4 million deaths. Diarrhea and diseases related, viral and bacteria, 3 million deaths. This is per year. Tuberculosis, bacterial. Now we have a new viral tuberculosis, do we not? And they don't even mention the viral tuberculosis here, just the bacterial, 3 million. Hepatitis B, virus, 3 million. Protozoa, malaria, 1 million. Measles, viral, 880,000. Tetanus, 600,000. AIDS, viral, 550,000. They don't even talk about cancer and heart disease there. We're just talking about diseases here related to virus and bacteria. And yet they don't even list the new tuberculosis virus, or the new hantavirus is not listed there. The flesh-eating virus, the streptococci A, the Ebola virus. You know, I mean, there's so much going on that we're not even aware of what's happening. I think many of us also have a tendency to want to ignore it. We don't want to deal with the truth. Why? We don't know what to do about it. True or false? Okay, look at here. Where will the next deadly virus appear? And then it goes on to talk about, you know, the agents, smallpox, AIDS, hepatitis B. How many of you are familiar with the Ebola virus and the symptomology of it? Are you aware that that Ebola virus causes decomposing of the internal organs and the smooth muscle tissue inside the human body? And once a victim contracts the Ebola virus, 3 to 5 days and they're dead. And you know what happened in Wominga, Minnesota just last week? Where 8 people died from what they're calling the new streptococci virus that caused people to die within 3 to 5 days. Their tissue, internal organs degenerated. It was the Ebola virus, but they're saying it's a new streptococci A. An epidemic. This is interesting. The price of doing nothing will be millions of lives. And it's happened before. Look at here. Killer flu, 1918 to 19, killed 20 million people. So we're not dealing with something that's just popped into our world today. There's been viruses around since the beginning of time. Look at what happened during Moses' time. Look at the 16th century plague in England and Europe that claimed millions of lives. Why is it happening? Why do we have more of it today? Because we have a weaker immune system. How are we going to build it? How many are familiar with this article out of the Weekly World News, November 8th issue? Cancer flu spreads to U.S. The virus acts like an ordinary flu bug at first, but as the symptoms linger, the virus mutates, causing cancer of the bone, blood, brain, colon, and pancreas. Interesting, isn't it? And of course, if you happen to be a victim, cancer flu has reached the United States, much less stricken victims in Dallas, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, and New York. What are we going to do about these things? Look at this article here in March issue of Reader's Digest. The invisible invaders. The question is no longer when will infectious disease be wiped out. Rather, it is where will the next deadly new plague appear? You need to read it, because this article talks about how that every antibiotic that they have made, the viruses mutate, the bacterias mutate, and create their own immunity against the antibiotics. So we need to read these things so we are aware of what's going on and be prepared. Let's look at some of the things that cause it. Water suspected in illness. U.S. health officials speculate that local water sickened dozens of AIDS patients during the spring. Groups warn of risk from bad drinking water. New TB, a time bomb. This is USA Today News cover story. You know what we need to be aware? Flu on tap. Milwaukee blames illness on tap water. Tainted water. Blame for unlike illnesses. It just goes on and on wherever we look. A contagious fascination with infections. As lethal viruses make news, the public ponders. What if? The hot zone. How many of you have seen the movie The Outbreak? Well, that's a reality. That's not just a movie. That's a reality. Ancient ills return with a vengeance. Viruses that they can't kill, they can't control. Now I want to spend time showing you what's exciting. This comes right out of the Cairo University Research Department, Dr. Rodwan S. Farag, who is our colleague in research at Cairo and I've worked with for 3 years. Safety evaluation of thyme and clove essential oils as natural antioxidants. If we're going to fight something, let's fight it with what God gave us to fight with. Look at here. Antimicrobial activity of some Egyptian spice essential oils. Hard copy research. We're not just here to talk about folklore medicine. Antimicrobial action of essential oils. The antimicrobial action is probably the one property of essential oils that has been known for the longest time. Isn't that interesting? But do you know about it? Do you read about it? Do you get to hear about it in the US of A? Of course not. How many of you know somebody that has diabetes? Let me show you what's going on at Cairo University with diabetes. They cure it. Look at here. This is just one of the simple studies that was conducted on diabetes. Blood glucose levels. This was control group with insulin right here. Then they used bitter fennel and it dropped it from over 275 to 200. Common dill oil, below 200. Coriander brought it down to normal range. Simple essential oils. Yes, they're correcting diseases in many places in the world.